Mrs. F, F, I. Mrs. C, Mrs. U, Mrs. L, T, Y.
Why are all these women married? Mrs. D, Mrs. I, you're supposed to be teaching spelling, not poetry.
Can't for the life of me understand why small children take so long to grow up. I think they do it deliberately, just to annoy me. What's funny?
Hmm? Come on, spit it out. Speak up.
I like a joke as well as the next fat person.
It's a snake. It's a snake.
Ah, it's a snake. One of you tried to poison me. Who?
We'll begin with a spin traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it.
So, hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damon.
And this is Douglas.
And let's get ready to
tumble. Podcast.
Close enough.
Oh, man. Damon.
Hi.
I don't know if you were playing video games this early in the world, because, you know, I think we're around the same age, but I'd like to imagine that I'm an old man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's this video game that Douglas and I hope Douglas remembers it, played when we were really young, mm-hmm. called Commandos.
Yes.
Right? It involved a tactical game with three or four units that all did different things, and you had to make them move specifically under like a World War II setting to kind of get to your goal. I bought that game today on Steam for $1, mm-hmm. and it might be the proudest purchase I've ever made in my life.
You're a bad person.
Do you remember this game, Douglas?
You are enabling people who have done nothing with their lives to continue to get paid for absolutely nothing. Commandos.
Do you remember this game, Douglas?
That I know this game.
Douglas is frantically searching for it on the internet.
Yeah. Let's see. The first one came out in 1998.
That's earlier.
Let's click on this and see if this looks familiar. Behind enemy lines. Did they go alarm?
Is that yes.
that one? Okay, yeah, I remember it.
It's ridiculous. Anyways.
I think this might have been the precursor to the Delta Force games.
Oh yeah.
I think so.
People started to show me this game, which I want to try and play, called Shadow Tactics, which is a more recent game. I think it came out like last year. And the minute I saw it, I'm like, that's Commandos, but with Japanese people.
That's racist.
Anyways.
These people can't command. Everyone does that.
This week, mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about Sean Baker's latest film, The Florida Project.
Yay!
Okay, I warned you. One drip and you're out.
Oh, come on!
Out now.
It's gonna melt outside.
It's melting inside, too.
But, Bobby.
Out. Thank you very much.
You're not welcome!
The man who lives in here gets arrested a lot. These are the rooms we're not supposed to go in. But let's go anyway.
which happens to be about a group of precocious young children in a summer in Florida near Disneyland, where they get up to numerous amounts of hijinks. They live in this motel that Willem Dafoe manages, and Damien, I want you to take it from there.
Yes, this movie is the best movie I saw in 2017, hands down, no questions asked. I'm very upset that this wasn't seen before I made my shitty list. My list for, when was that, a month ago, is a bad list. It's full of garbage. The Florida Project, me and Andrew liked his previous movie, and Douglas hasn't watched it, which is why he's very upset. Douglas has never seen that movie. And I wish he would.
What was that?
I wish he would watch that movie so that he could know how good that movie is.
So we've spoken about three letters, and Damien, those three letters apply to that movie. And
have not seen. I understand that you haven't seen. I understand you haven't seen the movie. But that's okay. One day you get a chance. It will be just like that Guillermo del Toro movie that you refuse to watch because you're an idiot. But that's fine.
You remember when he didn't see Avengers, Damien? And then he saw it like years later?
Yeah.
Right? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. There was some kind of apology. I remember. The Florida Project does a thing that no movie has ever done, at least for me, which is transport me back to a time when I was a stupid child. It is... No, the movie deals with extreme poverty, and on the fringes there is some really dark shit that is happening. But the time that you spend with the children is some of the most fun I've had with a movie. In a long life. Like, I was smiling and happy watching these children the entire time. And Willem Dafoe's performance is so good that he has to win something this year. Like, it is so good that I kind of care about awards season just because I want him to win. And the rest of the movie... while it surrounds the children, their mother is, she's, you know, a prostitute, and she sells perfume or whatever. But she's trying to hide the prostitution bits, but she's bad at it because she's clearly bad at a lot of things. There's a point where she does an interview, and it might be the worst interview I've ever seen. But you don't spend a lot of time with the adults. It's only as the children kind of overlap with them. And the movie starts out and they're spitting on a car. And they're just having the best time. Like, just that portion. Like, once the movie started, I'm just like, that is the dumb shit that I used to do when I was a child. Not that specifically. But that's the kind of thing you do. Whereas an adult, you look at it and you go, why on earth? But as a child,
so you're saying you were babies' kids?
Yeah.
Remember, I came and I told you about this movie last year, and I'm like, they're babies' kids.
Yeah. Right? And it is perfect.
Did you just say that they're babies? Yes,
yeah, they're babies' kids.
So I have a question, right? Mm-hmm. You've kind of answered it for me, but I really want to point this to Douglas at this point, since because I remember watching this movie last year and I found a lot to like about this movie. I mean, Willem Dafoe was probably my favorite thing about this movie. And I think for me, I watching this movie, I can't deny the joy and fun watching all of the children play and do all of their shenanigans and enjoy their life. But at the same time, this movie has a weird shift, as you even talk about it, between what the children are going on and their story of just kind of having so much shenanigans, running about doing crazy things, and then all of the parents' lives, especially as it focuses on Mooney and her mother. Haley is her name?
I think.
I could be getting that wrong. And all of the things that are going on with the mother and all of the adults in this film. And I want to ask Douglas, for you, was this a movie about the children or the adults for you?
The children. And the adults.
I'm afraid to pass to Douglas, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, so before you talk to Douglas,
yeah,
what I will say...
Any more questions?
No. There are... This movie is... There's a real serious subject matter to this movie, especially with the adults. The reason I love this movie is because you see the children play and ignore the reality of the world. Because they're kids, they don't know it doesn't matter. But you see, the parents have to deal with the ramifications. There's one point where they light buildings on fire. And the mother is talking to the child. And she knows he clearly was part of it. Because she's like, let's go outside and watch this building burn. Which, she shouldn't have children. And the child was just like, no. And she immediately knew. There is only one way he would come outside to watch something be on fire. And that is if he lit that fire. She's like, tell me. And he's just like... And you see there's a scene with the child predator that Willem Dafoe has to get very serious with. And you see, like, these children are not well supervised. And the parents that are there, like, even the ones that are trying to be better parents, they don't care enough, or it is not a big enough issue to them to truly supervise these children. Like, children come to the door, bang on the door, and said, I want that one to come and play. And they're just like, all right, fine. And they just send these children off to God knows where to do God knows what. And you see a lot of shitty parenting, and you see a lot of abject poverty, and you see Willem Dafoe trying to help these people, trying to facilitate the children, you know, having some semblance of parenthood. And the mother, especially Mooney's mother, she's giving zero fucks, like, the entire time. She just makes bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And you see at the very end how it affects the child. And they don't try and paint it in a way where they're like, she's a good mother, but, like, all her decisions point to the inevitable outcome. If you're a shitty parent, these things will inevitably happen. But you see and this is the thing I love most about children. Children's ability to not see reality. Like, they live their lives. It's a giant playpen. The entire complex is a playroom. Everything on the outskirts is a play. Like, nothing matters to them because they're so small. They haven't learned anything about how the real world works. And it is fascinating to watch them just go and play, and to watch the adults do the adult things and have it have no effect on the children. They're just children. And that's a thing that a lot of movies get wrong. These children are, like, a lot of movies either have the children be super smart or super perceptive, or, like, at one point Mooney is like, she's about to cry. I can always tell when adults are about to cry. But that is it. That is just a one-off thing. It's like, yeah, I've seen enough adults cry that I can point to that. But the rest of it, like, she was still trying to get tips from the people for bringing in the bags. Like, it was all just one big game. And his ability to capture that, especially with actors and actresses that aren't professional. Mooney's mother, she's an Instagram model. Like, she's never acted a day in her life. And he is able to put these people alongside seasoned veterans like Willem Dafoe and just have the movie work. At no point was I confused as to, you know, oh, she definitely can't act. Like, I never said that a one time. And the children's performances were so spot on. This movie, despite serious overtones, filled me, like, I was so happy watching this movie, right up until the very end of this movie. Like, start to finish, I enjoyed every bit of this movie.
This is massively interesting, because I was not filled with joy watching this movie. And I don't know if it's that I spent so much time focusing on the fringes of the children's world, right, with all of what was going on with the adults. Because while this movie definitely wants you to buy into all of the fantasy world of Mooney and her friends, like, there's a scene that I love, and it might just be because it's one of the few moments where it's completely separated from the adults, and that's where she and Janice, I think is the other girl's name, or Jenny?
Jancy.
Goes off, and they see these cows, and they're like, I took you on a safari.
Yep.
Right? And, like, that to me is the one truly through and through joyous moment of the movie. The rest of the movie is just muddled between its eventuality and sadness of what's going to happen, and you looking at what this fringe poverty is doing to these people. But more importantly, because Mooney and her mother kind of become the focus point of the movie, even though we have all of these other characters, it almost becomes this train wreck that we're watching, that we're sitting there and we're watching on, as you say, as bad decision is made after bad decision. In other movies, they would have sugarcoated it in this whole sense of she's making bad decisions, but it's not her fault, it's the system. She's making bad decisions, but it's not really her fault, it's this other thing. And this movie doesn't do that, and I don't even know.
She just makes shitty decisions.
Right. Like, even when you look around her and you see all of the other adults who are struggling, but kind of, you kind of imagine they're doing, even her friend who ends up, they don't talk anymore by the end of the movie. You can see where she, you can imagine where she probably started it in Haley's situation, and now she's working at the diner and kind of working her way up. Right. In some way. This movie just as a train wreck of a story, felt like that. It felt like the inevitable train wreck where you sat down and you're like, this won't end well. And it's not one of the train wrecks where you're like, it won't end well, but everything is kind of cool going in this weird way. It just felt sad, depressing, and horrible.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think that's why my question was, is this a movie about children or adults? And I know for certain, like, if we were to graph it of who's on screen more, it's definitely a movie about children and their ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't stop my eyes from looking at those fringes.
No, Andrew, I saw the movie that you saw. The thing is, like, adults being shitty, I know what is going to happen to this woman. She's an awful person. Right? But what I'm impressed with, and this is a thing that a lot of people fail to grasp, is just how little of what you think children notice, children actually notice. It is the reason, recently in Jamaica, there was a young girl that, her mother took a cutlass and beat her, and it was caught on videotape. For people who don't know what a cutlass is, it is a machete. That is what she used to beat the little girl. And they,
and let's not forget, it was broadcast on local news throughout the island.
Yep. So everyone saw.
So everyone could see it.
And it was on everyone's phone. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
And then people came to work.
We are those children.
People came to work and they're like, what a terrible woman. And I looked at them and go, all right, let me park this bus right here. That woman, if she wanted to kill that child, would have killed that child. If I was the one wielding that cutlass, the child would be dead. She clearly has beaten this young girl with her cutlass more than once. That doesn't make it right, but let us walk it back from this woman is trying to kill the child. Second of all, having been beaten a couple times in my life, I will tell you, they don't fall out of the sky. It is a reaction to something the child did. No, the argument needs to be, where is the line? Right? There's people who go, You should never hit a child, and those people live in a different world than the world I live in. I was a shitty child. I got several beatings, and I deserved 98.9% of those beatings. Right? And they did their job. I am not in prison because of some of those beatings. Could have been a shittier person. Still bad. Not that bad. But there's people who go, don't hit a child. And we say, oh, well, that's working in America. It's doing a very good job. There's no problems in the countries where you're not allowed to stare harshly at children. The extremes are really working, where you beat them with cutlasses, that clearly doesn't work. Or you don't look at them, which is also not working. So we need to come to a middle ground. And it's a gray area and it's tricky. But that child, when interviewed, said, of course I want about my mother, because that is my mother and I love her. And they asked her some other questions, and you could tell that as a child, her mother hit her a couple times or whatever, but it had no bearing on how much she thought her mother loved her or how she loved her mother. Because that is what adults do. We look at the thing and go, this mother is clearly a detriment to the child. On and on, and we make the decisions. But if you ask a child, and that is what I love most about the movie, at the very end of the movie, when it becomes clear that shitty decisions have come to a head, it took the child a long time to barely realize what was happening. And even then, she just ran to a fantasy world, which is what children do. And that is why I love the movie, because it is one of the few movies that really give an idea of what it is like to be a child. Parents are shitty, which is why I ignored all the parent bits. Like, I saw what happened and I knew what was going to happen. But spending time with these children and watching them play and ignore the realities of the world because they've never been exposed. Not only because they have no real understanding, but because they're so young and so full of energy and joy that it doesn't matter to them. Like, they know what danger is. But it doesn't really matter because they're so full of energy and full of wonder that they're just like, no, let's go play. Like, I'm envious of that. That is the thing as an adult you lose. There's no amount of drugs in the world I can take where spitting at a car becomes a game. It's never going to happen. But children still have that. They're playing water, like climb trees. Like all of the shit that you go, yeah, I used to do that as a child, but will never ever do again because I'm a man. But I got to see someone capture it on camera. It was magnificent to watch.
Douglas, I think you've been quiet long enough.
You sure? I wouldn't mind being quiet any longer.
You can say your three letters and move on. Yes.
So...
You don't like this movie?
This movie. Mm-hmm. Let's open up the phone, take some notes. Yes. So I have...
Oxford defines a movie.
A good story is...
Yeah. Wait, let me start by saying both teams played hard.
Legitimately, you know, it was the one thing I wanted to come here and do. I wanted to come here, especially after the last few weeks of podcasts, and ask Damien, is this a good story? And then ask him to tell me where it is.
Yes. So I learned a few things about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or I learned a few things when this movie started. One, which is that... this movie is not actually about child molesters.
It has one scene, which is a great scene.
Yes. Yeah, but you see, the thing is, everybody blew that scene out of proportion.
Oh, I'd heard nothing about that
so
scene.
I just kept hearing Willem Dafoe is awesome because he saves children from child molesters.
Okay.
And assumed that's what the movie was about.
He was the John Wick of child molesting, catching.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the whole pitch for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when halfway through the movie, there was not one child molester, I said, wait, maybe it's not about that.
Yes. Maybe.
Maybe.
You've been wrong about a lot of movies recently. Like, I don't know who's telling you the last movie was an action movie. This is a movie about a child molested superhero.
Well, anyway, the next thing that this movie taught me was that essentially the only good place in Florida is Disney World.
That is accurate.
Yeah. The only place worth going in Florida.
Also accurate.
Is Disney World. Mm-hmm.
I've heard about Florida.
If you have any problems, just run away to Disney World. Right?
I think that's why they built it.
Yeah. Anyway, so to really talk about this movie, it reminded me a lot of Spring Breakers, funnily enough.
Oh my God.
Do you not see that?
That is an awful thing to say. But
it's true. Are you saying Mooney's James Franco?
You are wrong.
It totally had that vibe.
And a terrible person.
But I realize I didn't... All right, let's start off with... This movie is not hot garbage, right?
All right.
Let's start off there.
Correct.
Which is how I feel about Tangerine, and which definitely biased me into coming into this movie.
No, I don't think you've seen Tangerine.
Oh, yeah, clearly I haven't. Yeah.
You're a mistake.
So, I started watching this movie, and for a long time, kept waiting for that hook. I kept waiting for the thing, the instigating event of the film that would then make the movie into what it is, right? Mm-hmm. It would make the movie be a crime movie or a molester movie or a
molester movie.
Yes.
Yeah, you know? So I realize now, and as I kind of go back through the movie in my mind, I know where I went wrong, and I think that's exactly where I went wrong. I kept waiting for this movie to become something I could define, right? To be about a thing that I've seen a million times before, which is not what this movie did. This movie, and I remember thinking at the time, after maybe a half an hour, to say, oh, I guess this is just a slice of life movie, which is somewhat accurate, but definitely doesn't quite cover what this thing is, because this thing is much more than that. And you guys have described it fairly well. This movie is about horrible people in a horrible situation, or actually more accurately, how a horrible situation can turn people into horrible people. And so you ask the question, Andrew, is this a movie about children? Is it a movie about parents? And I don't know the answer to that question. It's clearly a bit of both. But as I watched this movie, I kept cringing. And I kept cringing because you see that innocence that Damien talks about. And it's something wonderful to behold, but on the edges there is always this
shitty situation.
Not just the situation, but the, like, how, what it's done to them and how, what they do. So for instance, they go to the ice cream shop, and they go there and they're like, okay, let's just beg some money, because when she said at first, this is a place where we get free ice cream, and I thought, oh, that's nice. They go there and the people give them ice cream because they're children. They're wonderful ice cream people. No, that's not what happens.
Yeah.
What happens is the children are horrible and go around there and just beg money until they have enough for a cone.
They're children,
right?
Yeah.
Things like that. Things like how they treat other people. Then you have the parents, where you see it in full effect, where the parents have developed from innocent children with problems to problems, right? And both of these parents, the parents of Scooty and the parents of Mooney, are horrible people. Now, if we had a competition for who is the horriblest of them all, I suppose we'd have to go with Haley, who is Mooney's mom. And, I mean, one of those reasons probably is she literally beat Scooty's mom already, right?
Yep. not a good look.
No. But this movie, it's, I guess, a few other reasons why I ended up not liking it. And it's not really that I don't like it or I don't appreciate what it is, because the more I think about it, I really do think this is a good movie. This is probably a great movie. But this is the type of movie, when I watch it, I just feel sad for humanity.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that colors how much I can like it. Right? Mm-hmm. I get to the stage where I point at the people in the movie and I say, please
stop it. Stop it.
like it's weird because I'm kind of like that a little bit. But if we were to talk about the depressing reality that this movie gives to me, and watching depressing Lars von Trier movies, I enjoy watching depressing Lars von Trier movies more than I watch these.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I agree with you.
Obviously. Lars von Trier. You can look at that and go, this man is a madman. You watch this and you're like, life sucks. Real life is garbage.
Yep. And you can translate that. If you're not careful, which is what happened to me when I was watching it, you don't say life sucks. You say, you suck.
Yeah, this movie sucks. Right? I don't want to watch this. This is depressing and bad.
There were a couple of bright spots. One being, of course, I took you on a safari. That was pretty good.
That scene with the ice cream inside.
And you just saw him watching, and you wonder to yourself, what's going on? Something's going on. And then you realize he's set a rule.
Exactly.
And he's keeping them to it. as soon as it drops, he's like,
yep.
That's it. You're out.
And they're like, oh, their reaction is so, it is beautiful. Come on!
But far and away, the best moment of this movie, far and away, was there is a moment, a mini safari moment, where somebody says, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that.
That is the dumbest dad joke ever, and
that's pretty good.
I love it.
And you can see he catches himself like, say, ha, no foul, there's a joke in there.
Nah. Yep, there's a joke in there. Monsters.
Yeah.
Like, anything with Willem Dafoe in this movie, kind of, you're like, yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, it is, like, between him, like, he's also, like, more on the children's side than the reality, the harsh reality side. Like, he is still, he's so nice to everybody that it is as if he's looking at the dregs of society and going, they're still people. Which is what you're supposed to do, but it feels weird coming from a person. Like an actual human person.
And when you think about it, the one person you see him make the hard decision with, I think randomly in the middle of the movie, you see him kick somebody out.
Right.
Like, they have no children as far as we're concerned.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like, it is the Wire and few other exceptions get actual poverty right. A lot of times, people do things about poverty and they're so far off. Like, or, like, we call it ghetto life out here. I guess they'd call it the same thing in America. Or project life.
Oh,
or whatever it is.
I was about to say...
Don't.
Another stupid word, right? Another, like, ghetto word. And then it reminded me of the movie and another good moment. So the word I was going to say, oh, you mean like, you know, ratchet, right?
Ratchet.
There is a point real early out in this movie where you don't realize what is about to happen. You don't realize how horrible these people are. You see them, it's a spit game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kids, sure, yeah. Right? You know, that's all children will do foolishness like that. But then somebody calls them out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And their reaction is
beautiful. They're like, oh, these children's parents are the worst people on the planet.
I think one of them just screamed out, you ratchet bitch, or something like that. And
Bravo, children.
It was just...
Yeah.
Mm.
But even when seeing that, it wasn't a reflection on, oh, these kids are...
Oh, yes, it was.
It is a reflection on, their parents are monsters.
No, it's these kids are baby's kids.
Okay. Here's the thing. My mother sells in the worst place on the planet. Right? Downtown Kingston. And I've seen these children. These exact children. A lot of them spend too much time downtown. And you hear them and you see them behave. And there's people who, as soon as they see them, they get upset with the children. As if it's not learned behavior. But then... So then they're like, I'm going to discipline you. And then they take the child to the parent. And that is the first and only mistake you're going to make for that day. Because when the parent sees you with the child, they don't go, bad child. They explode into demons. And then attack the person. As if they have no right to even attempt to discipline these children. And you're just like, yeah, the reason children are like this is because their parents are that. And that is how it worked in this movie. These children are mean and mean-spirited and say mean things. Not because they are without joy and hate-filled children. It is because their parents are some of the worst people in the world. And it is reflected in their behavior. But at heart, they're still children. It is the thing the movie never loses sight of. No matter how shitty the parents are, no matter how dire the real-world situation is, no matter how desperate the parents become, the children are still 100% of the time children. And that is the part of the movie that made me... Like, I saw all of the bad things happening. But that is what is supposed to happen when you make shitty decisions. There's people who allow poverty to dictate how they're going to behave going forward, as if poverty in itself is an excuse to be an awful person. And it isn't. Right? Not in the countries that is being depicted. In America it isn't. In my country it also isn't. You don't get to be poor and be an asshole and then blame it on being poor. No, you're an asshole who happens to be poor. You don't have to. Right? There's countries where you cannot break out of your caste or your stature in life or whatever it is. There's countries that it is hard and fast. And when I see a movie about those cultures, then I'll change my tune. But for American here, no. No, son. You don't get a free pass. Oh, my life is hard, so I'm going to sell my body. No, stop being an asshole. Get a job. Take care of your child. Work harder. You aren't the smartest person. You don't have a great job. No. And so how this works, and whether it is fair or not, the reality of the situation is, how it works now is that you're going to have to work harder so that your child life isn't as shitty as your life, which is the job of parents. So watching this movie, I saw all the parents and went, of course, the fucking assholes, who gives a shit? But then I saw the children and I smiled the entire time because that's basically my child. Like, I lit shit on fire. I played in places I probably shouldn't have played in. We'd played shitty games. We used to light firecrackers and throw them into the street onto oncoming cars. Which, as an adult, you understand just how dangerous it is. Like, that is... We used to laugh as people swerve into the road. Because, of course, they did. You're driving. You turn a corner. There's an explosion in the middle of your windshield. And you panic. And we used to just laugh and run away. And it was only as an adult, I'm like, holy shit. I am surprised our adult didn't come out of the car and shoot all of us. I'm going to have to kill them. Because I have to.
Right? We must save humanity.
Right? We cannot allow these three to continue living in this world. I have to kill them. No jury in the world would convict me. Yeah. But we were happy. Like, I didn't have all of the things that, like, a lot of people had because my mother simply couldn't afford it. It was until later in life that I now have all of the madness that I could ever want and don't want any of it. But I didn't know because as a child, like, it didn't register. There was things like, I couldn't get a Super Nintendo for whatever reason. I went, all right, cool, I can't get one. My friend has one, so I live there now. That's how it works. Like, it really didn't register. And it's growing up and looking back here just like, oh, yeah. You see all of the things that, you see all of the markers, you're like, oh, yeah, clearly, I couldn't do this and this and this because my parents couldn't afford it, right? But my parents never at any point went, well, we're poor, so here what? You children are allowed to do all of these things. And we don't give up. No, it didn't happen. But watching the children play, just remarkable. Everything. Even the parts that are clearly depressing. I understand that is like I see it, I know what is happening. But even that was well done and just made the movie feel so much more genuine than a lot of other movies feel. Like, you like, after I watched this movie early January in no definition, right? And
speaking of which, Billboards is available.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm just going to wait a little while for to be able to rent it, but I'm so happy. That and Lady Bird.
I watched this movie and then was immediately upset at myself because we had already done the list. And I just wanted to come here and go, all right, listen, I made a list, but please ignore that. My list from 1 through 10 is the Florida Project. Now, you can ask me what are the other movies that I like, but as of this first viewing, all the movies I liked from 2017 is the Florida Project. I don't like Thor anymore. I don't like Blade Runner anymore. I don't like anything. One movie.
I think you're pronouncing it wrong, though.
Yes.
It's the Flowrider Project.
You're sorry. The Flowrider Project. Dipshits.
I thought that was... Isn't it?
No? I mean, I'll accept that.
All right. By the way, I have to tell you, another great part of this movie was when somebody came to check in to the hotel, and it became
immediately
clear
that it was the wrong hotel.
That no, actually, here's what I took, and that this, I think, is why I thought it was so funny. It's even funnier than that. Sure, if it's the wrong hotel, whatever. You got to your right hotel. What I decided happened, because he even said, "I know my secretary did." I imagine secretary, she booked that hotel because Magic Castle and Magic Kingdom are just so close together. Oh, boy.
Oh, no. I thought she booked that hotel because it is her last day being his assistant. Go fuck yourself.
All right, cool.
So I'm the only one who took it sincerely. All right, cool.
Nope. Yeah, you are.
I'm the only one who thought someone made a sincere mistake and now this man has to live with this mistake.
No, I thought it was a sincere mistake. Mm-hmm. I also thought it was a funny mistake.
I thought she went, I know what I'm going to do. Oh, you're going to Disneyland for your wedding? Good job. I have a plan.
Oh, that was special.
This movie is incredible.
I don't know about that.
This movie is...
It probably is great, but...
Tremendous.
I don't know.
This is number
one. I was going to ask about ending of this movie. Yeah. Because it was probably the biggest talking point when the film came out. Everyone was talking about, like, what did you think of the ending? But weirdly enough, you've already kind of answered it for me, Damien. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I actually didn't consider it in that context. Right? I was staring at it. Well, I guess we can say spoilers if you care that much for what really happened. Because it's not... I don't think it really, really matters in the context of this movie what the actual ending is. Mm-hmm. But they run. She goes, now knowing what's going to Mooney, now knowing what's about to happen to her and her mother. And she goes to her friend JC. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to mix up her name.
Jancy.
It's and
like a Nancy.
With as she is crying out her heart, realizing that she's probably never going to get to see her friends again, her friend takes her by the arm and runs her to Disneyland.
Yep.
As you said it earlier, Disney I didn't World, even think of it in sir. That way Ooh, of running off to a fantasy world because you can't deal with reality. Right? Even the second time I'm watching this movie, that ending, I just sit there going like, I don't know what just happened. I mean, I know Disney World is in Florida, but...
Yep.
I mean, yeah, whatever. Like, I just sat there going like, I don't know, guys. But you answered it for me, Damien, and thank you.
Yeah.
It makes sense that way.
Just like, Damien is smart. things are sad. Let's go play. And they found the largest playpen they can find. And they just ran to it. Because they don't know what else to do. The children can't process that kind of emotion. Which is why you should sprinkle water on them when they're giving trouble. To watch them panic.
I thought you weren't supposed to do that after midnight.
Oh, if children are still up at midnight, they're good children. They're the best children. Well, you can stay up late? All right, cool. Let's watch Predator. Your parents are asleep. They're drunk. It's time. Rambo and Predator. Let's do this.
So is there anything else we want to talk about with this movie? Or
just how much I love it?
No, you've already said that. We don't need like to hear that
lot,
anymore.
Like a lot.
I did that last week for my movie and you guys told me to go shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because your movie sucks.
Which movie was that again?
The monkey movie. The monkey action movie that wasn't an action movie. The Squall. Your brain has already forgotten. That is how shitty that. Like, I gave you all the clues and your brain was just like, not registered. No results.
Zero hits.
Did you mean?
We should have picked the Tom Hanks movie, The Circle, next. And then I'm sure we can find a movie called The Triangle.
Uh-huh. No,
and then
no.
The X, stop. And then we can talk about a PlayStation controller.
You start with the square, you go to the circle, right. And then you need another square movie because it goes, it's the square to the circle to the square.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I prefer like PlayStation controller. yeah, I mean, unless there's anything else you guys want to talk about with Flower Project, I guess we can move on.
Nope. There's a TV show I want to talk about, though.
Ooh, what's that?
What's this TV show?
I don't know if Andrew has seen it yet.
What
the show? Altered Carbon.
Oh. Nope, still haven't watched it. I instead of watching Altered Carbon that you guys told me from last week to watch, I watched a full series of anime that went up on Netflix.
Jesus Christ.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
They finally post Kakegurui.
Yep. That. Yeah. Wait, what's that? Mm-hmm. Zero results, man. We're not some man. Did you mean Altered Carbon?
No.
All right, fine.
No, but tell me about Altered Carbon. All I know is the premise is that like you can buy bodies or something.
Yeah.
You can buy bodies. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's all the show is.
The premise is going to halfway tree.
Yeah. Done and done. Yep. That pretty much sums up this
going
TV
down to
show.
Ripon Road.
Yeah. That TV show that we talked about. All right, so Douglas here, he got it right.
Yeah.
You buy sleeves. Sorry, yeah. Great.
You buy sleeves.
Yep.
Yeah, they call them sleeves. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a show.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Is it a good show?
But
oh, it's not good. Also, I shouldn't watch it.
I don't know if the show is good. I know I watch all of it. And I had myself a time.
Is it better than Arrow?
Listen, of course it is better than Arrow. I got to the end, so that automatically means it is better than the Arrow. It's interesting, is what the show is. It brings up a lot of sci-fi shit and plays around with it enough that you get to enjoy spending time with these characters. Like, if you pay attention to the actual story, they're trying to do film noir, but in future space-time. And
are you talking about Blade Runner?
Yeah, but the resolution to this story is so stupid. So incredibly bad and stupid that it almost made me not like the the rest of the movie. Like, you stupid motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. It was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you'll be happy. Somebody from Dollhouse is in this movie, Andrew. So you should watch it.
Who?
Who's from Dollhouse is in
this? Oh. Oh. Well, she's fine.
I didn't say she was good.
Yeah.
I said she'd be a reason Andrew would watch it. Yeah.
She was from Dollhouse, right? So I understand all of these feelings.
Like, it starts, Douglas said it the last time, it starts. And then there's a dip. But the start is so impressive that it carries you through. And it starts picking up towards the end. And there's a fake resolution that I was a fan of. Like, they essentially came up with a way to solve this murder. And it was like a heist.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything had to work together. And you're like, I like this.
That was actually kind of good.
Yeah. Then it ends. And it is bad. That last episode. And this story as a whole.
It was Firefly-esque.
Yeah. You're like, you guys ran out of story. Or someone died. But it's really interesting. I love I love how they
apparently weave. It's based on a book, apparently, and there are about three of them, and so there's more stuff for more seasons.
I enjoy how they weave together a lot of different cultures into it. That is the thing that they do the best, and I like their interpretation of what artificial intelligence is. That is actually my favorite part of the entire show. The AI hotel, he is spectacular. He's
perfect.
Yeah, he is tremendous. I don't know how they're going to get him back in season two, because clearly they're just going to move on from whatever this location is.
Yeah, apparently the other books aren't even, they're completely different. Yeah, they're on different worlds. And whatever, you know.
But this is, he is truly, truly tremendous. Worth the price of admission all by itself. Altered Carbon is good.
It's kind of sad because I actually do kind of like RoboCop, who is in this show. Mm-hmm. And
we're going to keep calling him RoboCop.
That's his name. Mm-hmm. If you want to be pedantic about it, maybe we can call him Robo Jr. because he's not the original. But
right.
RoboCop. Because I asked him about it. They said, you know, are you coming back for a second season? And that's when he said, well, I don't have no contract, and I've read the books. My story stops here.
Yeah.
So let's see where that goes.
Kind of done.
And apparently he has a new show with The Killing Lady.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what show it's about. So I'm not getting too excited. I like her a lot. And he was fine in it. He played exactly what he's supposed to
that's
play.
That's true.
I got big, dumb meathead.
The weird thing about that show is I watched the first season. I fucking loved it. I think I was the only one in the house that really liked it. Like, the parents are now into it, but at the time, I don't think they were. And Andrew has always kind of been like, eh. And I just never started the second season.
You're a crazy person. You are stone cold. You're out of your mind.
What he's done, Damien, is he's rolled the dice. You know, every time you start a new season, it could completely change what you have in your mind.
But
has it perfect right now. And he's like, I don't want to change
this. Let me allay your fears.
Yeah.
Your four seasons.
Everybody, everybody loves it. I know. So much so that Netflix was like, no, you need to keep it going.
Imagine if you said, listen, I only watched the first season of 30 Rock. People would look at you like, are you drunk? Listen, Hannibal, that first season, that's all I need.
It is all you need.
No.
Yes,
you need the rest of that.
Oh, wait, Homie, did they have two or three?
Three?
Oh, so the third one is what I'm thinking of.
The third season is the one we could do without. Yeah.
But I still liked it.
Because they had to, like, they knew that money was running out. Mm-hmm. So. Or you're like, the first season of Community is all the Community I need. I'm done. You're Stop. whatever it is you're watching, stop it. And continue watching the killing, you idiots.
Oh, so Damien, I'm 99% certain you can answer this question for me.
Okay.
Is Chris Rock still funny?
Yeah. In this new one, because you guys are bitching so much about it.
I wasn't bitching. I just, you know.
I didn't watch it. Plus, yesterday my house was underwater. Yesterday was a bad, bad day.
I throw gas on fire. That is all. Yeah,
yes.
I saw Andrew's comment and said, let's see how much more we can fuck with Damon.
Because, I mean, it is science, right? That if it starts full screen and ends up being a quarter of your screen.
I was so upset.
Yeah, that's real
that
science.
I couldn't find the actual scene or the actual specific snippet of that episode of It's Always Sunny that I wanted. I wanted to find... So we were talking about this on WhatsApp, and I decided I'm going to send, because he says I can prove this with science.
Right.
And I decided I was going to send a clip from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where they have this argument, and it's almost like a court case.
Right.
To try and win.
I love that scene so much.
Yeah. It's whether you're with creationism or evolutionism, and at one point I think it's Charlie, and. Mac was for God, right?
Yeah, he's always for God.
Okay, cool. So it was Mac then. So Mac essentially says, all right, so you don't believe in the Bible, which, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you believe in science, which is essentially these really big books that you read from old people who say they know what they're talking about, but you've never met, and you don't know if they're... And essentially,
right.
he turned
science into the Bible.
Which...
That is perfect.
It's perfect. And that would have been perfect for that argument.
That was the clip that you sent.
No, it started too early, though. Yeah. It started earlier than...
Oh, no, I preferred... I liked all of it. So I just watched the whole clip, and I'm like, I like this whole clip.
That's the kind of stupid I can...
But yeah, I watched the Chris Rock stand-up, and there is... one section in which he makes some Jamaica-related jokes that I quite love.
Oh, okay.
It's like, booyaka.
He talks about getting off the plane, getting into the van, and seeing a man with eating dreadlocks. And then someone is stabbing another
dreadlocks?
Man, just shouting shabba, shabba, shabba every time he stabs. And it was dumb enough at the point that I was like, I'm on board with these jokes.
Let's do this.
Yeah, but I didn't like that stand-up and thought maybe I'll watch it. But I never really have thought of him as that great. He has his moments. I do love a couple of his movies.
I don't.
You just said you like
Top
one.
Five.
No, I said it was okay. The one where he's another person. Uh-huh. That's okay.
Yeah, that one's
and
okay.
And I despise Top Five, except
I
for the DMX.
I love Top Five to death.
The DMX is what saves that.
And by a couple of his movies, I mean all five of his top five.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah, I really like
the parts where people are discussing what they're talking
about. Oh, no. I like that whole movie. That whole movie is great.
You're such a mad person. He's bad in all his movies because he can't act to save his goddamn life. But his stand-ups were the thing that I always loved Chris Rock for. Even when he just started, and you could tell that, like, it wasn't confident Chris Rock. Is new to me because most of the time I spent with him was when he was up and coming. It was before he got his own show and launched into the stratosphere. Like, all of his stand-up specials, there's like 2-3 of them before that, that are in, they're like Chappelle-esque, where every single thing that falls out of his face is hilarious and ridiculous.
Did he give himself a challenge?
No. And so, hearing that, because he stepped away from comedy to raise children and enjoy all of his trillions of dollars. So it's not surprising to me that he has fallen off. He's just like, the things that I find funny now are funny to me. Yeah. And he doesn't
but
have to care anymore.
The thing about it is, he's a dad, right?
Yeah.
The things he finds funny, other people may not find funny.
Mm-hmm.
That means he should just be going up there and saying dad jokes. Now that I would fall over the floor for.
From what Andrew is describing, he is falling into the same trap Jay-Z fell into. Where at a certain point, like, Jay-Z always rapped about being rich and having money.
And then
there was a point where it flipped over. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is happening? Who is this song for? You and three more people? Who? It's you, Beyonce, and like basketball players. Like, who is this in reference to? Like, slow your roll, son.
It's somehow what you just said made me think of a Chappelle joke, and that's hilarious. Because I love all of the Chappelle stuff.
Like, it is. Oh my god. Listening to Jay-Z's, I exercise in touch. He's just like, I remember Big Pimpin. I remember that. He used to be good at this. He's still technically good at it, but his songs are terrible. Because no one can tell him. Imagine someone telling Jay-Z no at this point.
Can you imagine? He plays a song for you, and you say, you know what? Got some notes.
Yeah. Hey, Hover, I know you think you're J-Hover, but your song is whack. You just shoot in the face. He's like, look at Beyonce's picture. And you're like, all right. And then he shoots it.
Bow to the queen.
Bow to the queen. With lonely cell. My only hell, but since when y'all niggas know me to fail? Fuck nah, we all my niggas with the rubber grips or shots. And if you with me, mama, rubber your tits and whatnot. I'm from the school of the hard knocks. We must not let outsiders violate our blocks. And my plot is stick up the world and split it 50-50. Let's take the dough and stay real jiggy. Let's sip the Chris and get pissy. Flow infinitely like the memory of my nigga Biggie. Baby, you know it's hell when I come through. The life and times of Sean Carter, nigga, volume 2. Y'all niggas get ready.